Now, I may appear to be a stranger to you, but I'm really not. My son Kenneth is here, and therefore I am here and we are here, and I'm ever so grateful for that. I want to just share to you my utter gratefulness for the simplicity of the gospel, because I've walked with the Lord for many, many years, and I've tried to delve into all sorts of different corners and crannies in God, but when I come right down to it, I realize that the eternal God and the walk in which we are is one of utter simplicity. And we need to realize that more and more, because I want to introduce the younger ones here to the reality of that so that they can go on with an endless sense of peace and purity in their lives, realizing that the Word of God is itself a purifying force. And the Scripture says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the voice or the Word of God. We can amplify this throughout the whole Scripture, but one of the best Scriptures of all to exemplify this is found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now that may easily be applied to each and every life here, couldn't it? There was a point in your life, and maybe there will be recurring points in your life where there come moments of formlessness and emptiness. But here's the key. The faith cometh by hearing. And so what happened? You see it in the very next verse. And God said, let there be light. And I want to encourage each and every one of you, because of the simplicity of faith, to come to that place where you're pressed into the heart of God, put your ear up to the heart of God, and hear him speak. Because when he speaks, all the scaffolding, all the veneer, all the falseness that seem to be facts around you, because all facts are false illusions concerning time. That's all they are. You see, if you were back there in that place, way back then, and you'd have seen this formlessness and void, you would have considered that a fact. And you're right, it's a fact. But faith came along, and faith said, let there be light. And I want to speak into each and every heart here today, that very word of life and encouragement, so that no matter what kind of condition you come upon, whether it be a distress or affliction or disease or misunderstanding or any kind of perturbing thing, that you might press your life and your heart into the heart of God, because the key comes from listening. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'm grateful that I can come into a position like this, basically unknown and yet known by my son. He'd been all over the world doing the same thing, and I've been utterly amazed in the body of Christ, that the body standing on the Mount of Zion in the world today covers this whole globe, and there's people everywhere that can embrace you and accept this word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the voice of God. Lord bless you. Can I add just one more word to that? I am utterly awed, A-W-E-D. But the more odd, A-W-E-D, I am, the more O-D-D I am. Because faith overcometh. This is the faith that overcometh. This is the victory that overcometh, even your faith. So continue to be awed.
Just want to say thank you to the Lord. The verse, or the little verse, is the nearness of God is my good. And another verse like that is from Psalm 139, which says, you have enclosed me behind and before. And I didn't realize how close that enclosing was until more recently. I did know, but I'm learning more, that God is closer to me than my thoughts. And I'm very thankful for that. And he loves me. And he gives me a gift that is most precious to me. He lets me love him. And I thank him.
I am most thankful to the Father for calling my name, for for choosing me to belong to him through Jesus, for giving me eternal life, an inheritance that cannot be taken away, and the hope that he gives because of that. I'm going to read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. And I'm going to personalize it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who, according to his great mercy, has caused me to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for me, who is protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this I greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, I have been distressed by various trials, that the proof of my faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though I have not seen him, I love him. And though I do not see him now, but believe in him, I greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of my faith the salvation of my soul. And I'm really very grateful that the Lord has shown me so clearly that the temporal things that are seen are not so important. They are the things that fade away, unlike my inheritance that is reserved in heaven for me. He truly does fill me with joy unspeakable and full of glory. He alone is worthy of my worship.
Amen. Thank you all for being prepared like that and getting us started. If you didn't come prepared, it's okay, but we just want to give room for the ones that had already prepared. But as you keep coming, just come and come to the front when you're ready to share, and the person can hand off, and we'll just keep going. So thank you. Alan?
Thank you, David. as many of you know, this is was Nana and my 65th year, and looking back, one thing I really appreciate is what's found in the scripture in Lamentations 3, verse 21. It says, "Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions, King James' mercies, never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore I will wait for him." And looking back, I'm really comforted by that scripture that his mercies are new every morning, because every day we fail him. I have failed him. I'm selfish, inconsiderate, short-tempered. There's some good points in between too, but I am aware that, you know, God's mercy is what really sustains us. And the other thing I felt on my heart was from Habakkuk. I think if we look in the news nowadays, with the economic turmoil in Europe and in America, and, you know, you can get a little fearful about the economy. And I'm always comforted by this scripture in Habakkuk. It says in verse 17, "Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior." And, you know, as Christians, North American Christians, especially with the prosperity gospel, it's easy to, you know, rejoice in the Lord and everything. But when things are getting a little harder, it's important that our foundation is on our relationship with him, and understanding that God has an eternal plan and purpose, and no matter what happens, we will be okay.
I'm thankful to God for the precious saints here in this fellowship, for all the years that my husband and I went through so many things, especially during his cancer years. I was so thankful that there are godly men and women here who prayed for us. And the only consolations I have in there's so many things in the Bible that I could look at, but God illuminated these verses in the Bible. And first of all, I just want to give thanks, especially the Harrises, when Michael was dying of cancer. And I call upon Diana Harris and Fred to come home, to come to my house and pray for with me, and just to go for me to go through things. I'm so grateful for this couple. I'm grateful for Jeff and Andrea, who they're younger than us, but they listen with us and listen to the things that we went through, because we went through hardship in marriage too. And so I would really be their precious family of God to us. I'm so grateful. I'm grateful also for this couple here who's from United States, the Borman, who are, you know, on all dire needs of listening. I want to grasp the effect of disease and illness, and through David's father, who went through sickness and illness, and they were such a comfort to us. Thank you all, and all those people that I haven't mentioned, please bear with me. Thank you so much. This is the word that I really, over the years, and even when we went to mission work in the Philippines, this is a very comforting word for me, that all trials and things and tribulation, whatever I go through, I look back on the word of God, and this is what it says. Isaiah 43, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burnt. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead." I passed through many waters and many things in my life. I think it's just a metaphor of so many problems and struggles I went through, so many things. But then for this peace and love beyond my understanding, because the Word of God said so, and He went me through that and through also the prayers of the saints. Thank you for this fellowship. Thank you so much. God bless.
About a year ago, last November, I was at a prophetic conference for the weekend, and I was really encouraged by how God used this prophetic word to me. It was supposed to be one word about our destiny, and this woman stood in front of me, and she said, "Writing. Without a doubt, it's definitely writing. You are going to write." And for me, I went to university for English literature. Writing had died. It was quite a flame that had been snuffed out. And even when she said that to me, I said, "Well, great, thanks. I'm not very excited about that." But I said, "God, if this is from you, will you show me what to write?" So the very next morning, I'm doing my time with the Lord and stuff, and I'm at a table, and I definitely have the do not disturb sign on in my being. However, these three women sat down at my table, and they start just asking me questions about how I got saved and where I'm from and what church I'm from. And I began to tell them about Alpha and how I got saved through Alpha. And the one woman began to cry. And she said, I said, "What's wrong?" And she said, her friend said, "This is the woman who started Alpha in Canada." And she looks at me and she held this book wide open and she said, write your testimony." So God answered that prayer. And I was really encouraged by that, because we have a writing group that we've just started, and I really didn't feel like going to that. It's like, I don't know what to write. I'm not really feeling it. And I think I know God is really teaching me about, like, what He is saying and in His word, and to follow that and not follow your emotions. So I just want to praise God for that. But also, just about getting through the fires, and there's been little bits and pieces of fires, and I've just been with some friends that have a church in Ontario, and they've been through fire, and they've come out, and there's no scent of smoke, and God does this. So we can be encouraged. And if you have a prophetic word for someone, if you think you do, give it to them, because you don't know, and it's not even for you to know how it's going to affect them. Just please be obedient to the Lord and give that word.
as our oldest, Lauren, has gone off to her first year of university, I've recently become very struck and very, very grateful for the opportunities that my kids have. And for instance, when I gave birth to my four girls, I didn't have a mother-in-law at my shoulder ready to smother my daughter. And when my kids go to school, they're not being told Islamic or communist propaganda. My kids can go to school, and we don't have to have this discussion where which one of our children can go to school, because we can only afford to send one of our kids to school. And I'm also struck with the fact that my kids can come home and have free time in which to pursue creative things and work around the house, and they're safe in my house, and they don't have to travel many kilometers to fetch water or find firewood. And Jeff and I have never had this conversation where we've had to consider selling one of our children because we can't make ends meet. And so I'm just overwhelmed and grateful for the opportunities that my kids have.
I just want to say that I'm very, very grateful to God for his forgiveness and grace, and that he continually teaches me to follow him, and he's patient with me, even though I continually fail and sin, but he's changing me and transforming me.
Good morning, everybody. So I would like to share something God blessing. So God always walk with us. Today my wife should be with me, but she went to China to visit her family. And you know, I participate a program UBC. I should have a field trip in downtown area today. So but yesterday evening, I talked with somebody on the phone. I said, today is Thanksgiving. So I said, better to take leave that I come here. And I didn't prepare. I just share whatever I think. I haven't stand here for talk anything for quite a long time, because I used to talk something in the public, but I also shy to my poor English, and also my wife always pulled my arm. I said, oh, don't do that. Because they said, your English so poor, they didn't understand your meaning, so maybe you'll waste their time. Okay. So I take the low profile, right? So, and today I couldn't help. I couldn't control my... I want to share that God blessing with me and my family. You know, I spent quite a long time, more than 20 years, to study architecture, urban planning, and I finished my bachelor, master, PhD, everything. But I arrived in Canada, I couldn't find any work related. I'm sad. But after, you know, the next Sunday, I come to this church. Since I arrived in Canada, until now, more than 13 years, so, but I'm satisfied. I'm educated by Lord, by God's words. And I said, okay, so God arranged that for me. I'm just satisfied my what I have. I'm really work happily with my current work, take a senior housing in Canada. But I also want to share that God always think of me. And, you know, in my deep heart, I think I spend a lot of time to study that. How can I use that? So, Lord gave my opportunity to do some teaching work in China. So, when the people talked to me, what are you doing in China? I said, I teach. If I talk with a Christian friend, I said, oh, I'm doing missionary there, because I share the God news, good news there. I give my work a title is Good News in Campus. I share God, I share Bible, I share stories, I share everything as long as I can in campus with my students. In classroom, in the spare time also, I'm really happy about that. My students, I couldn't remember how many, but at least two students become Christian there. They went to church almost every Sunday. As soon as they went back to teach there in China, they call me, and because I email them. So they call me and talk, share something. We have something, dinner or lunch together, something. We share the blessings. So I'm very happy with that opportunity. Sometimes I said, I have no any exciting things to share. I'm just doing very peaceful, ordinary life every day with my wife, with my family. But sometimes I said, not really peaceful. Sometimes I quarrel with fighting with my wife. I said, how come you go to China, don't do anything there, and no make big earning, better stay here? I said, one is, I like what I learned. I can share something, what I learned, for these professional things in China. At the same time, I can use my personal experience to share Lord, the gospel to the student, because they are hungry to know that. So even though I'm alone there, you're alone here, but only temporary, maybe only 3 or 4 months, but I reduced that, maybe 2.5. So last year, I did only 3 months, because as soon as they start immediately to work, and as soon as they finish the course, next day, I'll come back. So, but during this time, I'm thinking, I will develop something other here also. Maybe in the future, I can do something more there and withdraw there. But anyway, I'm still happy with my life here. I'm really, thanks God, thank this family, I can share something here. Thank you.
I would like to really confirm what Ken's father, I've forgotten your name, what you shared. It's true that it is very, very simple. You know, that we go along and we think we're very getting more complicated in our understanding of the word, but I'm seeing as the years go by, it is very simple. And 2 years ago on New Year's Day, I asked the Lord, please give me something specific from you to take to my heart as a New Year's resolution. I've shared this with a few of you, but I memorized it. I'm not going to try to say it by memory. I'm going to read it. I get nervous. But it has become like a word of life to me through many, many hurdles, and I'm just going to read it. Okay. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known by all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And I just want to thank the Lord for his peace and also for his voice time and time again when I'm in the middle of about to going over a hurdle or afraid I'm not going to make it. He's saying, are you rejoicing? And I have to say, thank you, Lord. You give me the power to rejoice and the peace just to walk in this word, to know his reality.
Okay, Mike called me to come here and I'm not prepared. But I do thank, obviously, for our little Kai. I've been praying for a long time for this miracle. And God really answer our prayer. So, and thank you for all your love for the praying with us and supporting us as well. I really thank for this family, this church. And we really feel like we don't have a family near here, so we really thank to you all.
Obviously, it's easy to be thankful for the safe and healthy delivery of our great little guy into the world. And we are very thankful to God for that. But I, since I'm up here and I've got a microphone, would like to agree with what Mia has said, that we're grateful to you as a church family. These 3 years now that we've been here, it's been really great getting to know a lot of you. Still some faces that are familiar, but we haven't really gotten to know you, and look forward to that opportunity. And sitting at the front a moment ago, I felt I wanted to say a particular thanks, especially for one person in particular who has certainly impacted me and touched me with her humility and faithfulness and sincere joy in the Lord, and that is the lady who stood here just a moment ago, Evie. She's been such a great testimony of God's love and faithfulness. Thank you.
Just need to say that we have 5 people waiting to share, and you will be the last 5. All right, so thank you all. I know there's more that want to, but we're going to have to stop here. I think it's Addison.
Hi. Some of you may remember me talking about sharing the gospel with a Chinese student in grade 12, and he came to Christ. And when I was about to just allow him to submit his whole life to Jesus, I said, okay, well, your life might not be perfect. You may be sick. Your friends and family might not accept you because of Christ. You may not do well in school and this and that. And like, it's not going to be easy, but God's going to be with you the whole time. And then I haven't heard from him for a while because I went to Vancouver and he actually went back to China. And what happened is, you know, his health was bad, and then he wasn't going to class. His classes were not doing very well. And so he got sent back to China, and his parents took his Bible away, said, we don't want you to be a Christian. All these things I said, I didn't want to, like, and I was like, oh, man. And I haven't heard from him for so long. I just heard that from a friend. And so I've just been praying for him lately, and I hadn't heard from him. I'd sent emails and stuff, and I finally get an email back, and he says, yeah, my parents took my Bible away, but I've been praying the whole time for them to give it back, and they gave it back to me, and I've been looking for a church, but I just want to find a group of people who are really passionate about Jesus, because some people, they just talk, but they don't walk, and so he's really passionate, and then he says, you and your friend James are really passionate for God. Are you priests? Because I want to do that too. And I was just like, thank you, God. Thank you. That's sweet. So, yeah, I'm just thankful for that.
Hi, everybody. Happy Thanksgiving. The song Amazing Grace. So powerful. God, I'm thankful for his friendship, his power, and his amazing grace. The lines, my chains are broken and I have been set free. That is so powerful. And I think as Christian, I think sometimes I look past that, but how amazing is it that there's this God that cares about me and that he's willing to start a new day? Can you imagine if he added everything up that we messed up on and you had to face it every single day? It's on his back, not mine. And that's just so powerful. And my other favorite line was, hell, where's your victory? Like, how powerful is that? Hell has no victory. God is so powerful. And if you wake up remembering that every day, the day will be great. And whenever you get down, I found that if you just soak up God, just one thing that you're thankful for, one thing that you just love about him, or something that he's given you that you love about yourself, you can get through the struggles. You can get through the hard times. And I just think that that's so powerful. So I'm thankful for that.
I'll be really short. I just stood at the church about 3 or 4 years ago, I don't know how many years now, and all I could see was a black field, and I was weeping, and I said, Lord, you've got to do something with these tears. There's got to be life. And I don't know if someone prayed for me, but I just felt God said, I'm going to lead you into a wide and fruitful field, and this is the wide and fruitful field. But I just have to say how faithful God is in the blackness, in the darkness, and also in the joy. He is the same God. He is kind, utterly kind and faithful.
Yeah, thank you. The past few years have been interesting since my wife died in 07, and I didn't do very well after that. And my other woman, I call her, was the church in Alhambra. And that wasn't doing very well either. And so those were the sort of the two, my right and my left hands, as it were. And so my worth and everything else was all attached to that. Walked with God and so on. But I retired earlier than I had expected, and in 08. And went home to Ireland. And I would have these ongoing panic attacks about the future. But every time, instantly, as soon as I turned to him and asked him about it, the same word was the same, and it was, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And there was a miracle every time, because it was just instantly removed. And then in 09, which was the 25th anniversary of the church in Alhambra, just after I'd come back from Ireland, it was all in that process of time. And I thought I was moving to Lethbridge. My daughter had been critically ill, and I thought I was moving there to be a help to them. I moved back to Alhambra just really to move, and felt God, we had our anniversary service, and on that weekend, God spoke two words, confirmed by two or three witnesses, wait until. And I was able to say, okay, I don't know what that means, but I'll wait until. And then Dave Borman had asked me to come here to help in the school. And, you know, these little things that might seem just ordinary things, I mean, look at what's happened. And I just look back with gratitude for the... I walked with God, but in the valleys and in the hard places, he is there and he is speaking. And I don't think I've ever heard him speak so clearly. And but when it was wait until, I felt, well, wait until what? Wait until I die? You know? And little did I know when I came to Vancouver that it was all a part of his plan. And I have this picture of... It's like a waterfall of the goodness of God that flows from this great height and blesses. But somehow, for me, Linda is a part of that flow. And when I give thanks to the Lord, she is a part of that. When I give thanks to her, then he is a part of that. And you just see that unity of its people and its circumstances and its situations. And so I'm thankful to Dave and Tina for opening their home to me, and for the vision and the heart to invite me. But I'm also thankful to you, the church, because that was also part of the miracle for me, that it was instantly home. And so even whenever it was a letting go of Alhambra, there was the huge aspect of the fact that there was a home to come to. And that was before there was a Linda. And that home was you. But God has not only provided a home, but he's provided a home. A heart home and a place and all of those things. And I am just thankful to him. I'm thankful to Linda. And I'm thankful to you. Bless you.
I just need to say one more thank you. And I said it to Bob. When all the times when I felt so discouraged, hopeless. There were so many faithful people praying for me and encouraging me, and I really have to thank you all, because that was God to me. I didn't have the faith, but it was from you, the body. Thank you.
Where to start? Just over 3 years ago, I had just gotten out of a relationship, had a bit of a rocky ending, and I was left broken and surrounded by, my mind became surrounded by darkness, and I became someone who believed in lies that Satan was telling me. And 3 year process started a remaking, a reforging, I guess you could say. And just over a year ago, I walked through that front door, and the first person who spoke to me was Dave Bornman. And at that point, I had kind of lost my faith in people and in the body of Christ, and that little moment there touched me so much that I came back, and this whole process, this whole healing process for me came to an end about a year ago when Ron McLean spoke to Core, Roots, and Big, and that healing process came to an end, and I was finally one again. I finally felt one again. And over the past year, I've been encouraged by a lot of people here. And I just want to thank anyone who's ever shared a word of encouragement with me. Scripture, it has not gone in vain. You have not said it in vain. I've kept it with me over the past year. And specifically, I want to thank a few people. First of all, I want to thank Ron McLean. And just his willingness to obey the leadings of the Spirit. And I also want to thank Bornman, Dave Bornman here. Some of those sermons just hit me so hard, so deep, and cut to the core of so many issues that were that had come out of this brokenness, the scars that were left of it. I also want to thank Lee and Jen. Being in your guys' home group, really, it's a big, big encouragement. And I also want to thank Big and all the people in Big, and specifically Johnny and Len. Your guys' friendship has meant the world to me. Thank you.
This is my first time to be here, so I'm very nervous. I'm the last person, so I think I may take a little bit more time. I'm just joking. I really want to thank God. If you can't understand what I'm saying, I'm sorry, but you can ask me later. I know sometimes some people have difficulty with my accent. I want really to thank God for the way he has kept me going. I came here, my son was about 5 months, and now he's a young adult, so I have been here quite for a long time. Coming here has been such a challenge. It's been a struggle. I've always been in church, and about more than 10 years ago, I came to this church. I thank God for everyone in this church who have prayed for me, and especially people who have loved my kids, and they know who they are. I do thank you very much. I just want to share about something that happened to me in 2007. I lost a job, it wasn't the first time. At some time, maybe a year or 2 years before that, I had been laid off in a situation exactly like Jean Marie. And then I went back to school, and then I came back, and I started, you know, I'm a fighter. I pray and I worship, and always God always helps me to move on and recover from some challenging situations in my life. I've gone through a lot, but God has been faithful. But in 2007, I somehow, the circumstance and the situation was so, it hit me so hard that I didn't have that strength I always had to just pray myself out of situation and just like move on and go do something else. So I decided to stay home and not go to look for a job. With two kids to feed with no job. And if you go EI, you know, you get 55% of your income, which wasn't great anyways. So you're just barely surviving. But I said, Lord, I just don't want to just go start over again. I want to sit here. And you said you'll provide for me and my children. And I just want to know what to do. I just don't want just to go look for another job. I sat home. I did not go to look for a job, but I was so sad and angry and upset. These people, I had known them for such a long time. They are the people, first people that I knew when I came here, and so I had that kind of relationship, just feeling like I had been let down and betrayed. I blamed myself. I just said, Lord, I just want to. I just wanted to hear God. I just wanted to know where God wanted me to go before I go anywhere. So I decided to pray a lot and read my Bible and just wanted to have an experience with God to heal me. It took me a long time to forgive and to receive healing. And through prayer, I felt God had called me to serve him. But I was like, oh, me, what am I going to do? I don't have skills and great things I can do. What am I going to do? I kept writing things. Like when God would give me something, I just kept writing them down and kept praying. I ended up getting a job because a friend of mine referred to me, place they were hiring, and they just hired me right away. I started as part-time. It has now become full-time. So God has been faithful. So since that time, I have really been praying for God to help me to be obedient to him. And it has come. Since then, I've seen God working through me. I thank God for the healing choices because I shared some of my experience and I was completely released. And especially even the relationships in this church, just to open my life, I kind of was a little bit closed. And I felt the Lord just setting me free to let people get involved in my life, to just make more connections and also continue to open my life. My testimony, my pains, my sufferings, and all the experiences I have, God, is the Lord is just moving me towards taking my whole experience and taking my whole testimony and taking all my downs and ups and valleys and hills and just using them to share to other people. Maybe not everybody has gone through so many troubles I have gone through. You know, when you immigrate here, you have no family, you have no relatives to go to, and you are, you know. But some people, I know that there are people who will be encouraged from what I have learned, the way God has really lifted me up. Otherwise, if it wasn't for God, I don't know where I would be. I don't want to think where I would be if it wasn't for God. With no parents here, no relatives, no, it's just church. And I have to say I haven't been really so connected in this church except for my network. And I do want to thank Jen because really you have been such a blessing in my life. But I see this changing and I see God opening doors for me. And I'm just continue to say yes, Lord, I do want to use my testimony. If it's something you want me to do, will you help me, Lord? And will you show me so that it's not because I am capable or like I have anything in me, but I just want to say yes, here, Lord, I am, and you can take me and you can use me. And if it's going to be using my testimony, yes, Lord, I give it up. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you all for sharing. Thank you for taking the time to let us into your life, and it was a blessing. Sharon, do you want to come and sing for us? Where did Sharon go? Here she is. So I really appreciate that Dudu sent me an email and said, my friend is here, and she's a really great singer. Let's have her sing. Well, that puts a lot of pressure. What if...